Are you ready? Ready to release internal pain? To find confidence, clarity, and direction for your future? To live a life of meaning, fulfillment, and contribution? To trust your intuition again, but something's been holding you back? You've come to the right place. Welcome. I'm Ian Hawkins, the host and founder of the Grief Code podcast. Together, let's heal your unresolved or unknown grief by unlocking your grief code. As you tune in to each episode, you will receive insight into your own grief, how to eliminate it, and what to do next. Before we start, I have one request. If any new insights or awareness land with you during this episode, please send me an email at info@ianhawkinscoaching.com and let me know what you found. I know the power of this work and I love to hear the impact these conversations have. Okay, let's get into it. So for the first 2 weeks of this podcast, I've been focusing mainly on that first element of your personal truth map. That is, you hold the key to your better life. Now, one of the challenges around you actually stepping into that space is the grief that you all experienced, that I experienced as a child. This is the unresolved and often unknown that I talk about regularly. It's those moments that usually for the adults in our life, they weren't meaningful conversations, they weren't meaningful moments. It could be something like, which was true for me, when my brother came home from hospital when I was three, then I felt a disconnect from my parents. Now, that's no one's fault. It's certainly not my fault, not my brother's fault, not my parents' fault. It's just part of life. I'm sure many people can relate to that. And then suddenly, you know, you're having to share a space when you were the center of attention as the youngest child. Now, something like that, or the other one that comes to mind is my daughter when she was, must have been about kindergarten, five, when she was 5 or 6 years old, first year of school, I think, or second year, she won an award and she goes to receive that award on stage and she skipped across the stage in front of all the school and all the parents and everyone laughed because it was the most adorable thing they'd seen. She created this whole meaning around this about being laughed at for winning an award or for whatever meaning she'd created around that, which we found out from a conversation much further down the track. So they are both examples of grief, of loss, some sort of loss. For me, it was a loss of connection and in a way a loss of an old identity. For my daughter, it was a loss of confidence, a loss of willingness to step into that spotlight, to actually be okay with having attention shone on her. Now, these things are like I said, they're not pivotal for the rest of the people in your world, but they have such an indelible mark on our emotional bodies. And this grief causes patterns that shape who we are. Usually what we get disconnected from is then what we try and seek it out, because it's we've been taken away from something that was once there. For me, around connection, it's like I saw the world through the eyes of emotional connection, of having that deeper connection, of my own loss, and that shaped who I was and how I was able to help other people through that because of what played out and then continued to play out as a result of this grief. So you can see there that there are these patterns that are created within us from this grief that kind of play out through all the way into our adult life, which are of no one's fault, certainly not your fault, that then can stop you from moving forward because of these patterns that are so hardwired. You think about it, some of these patterns come from such a young age, from even in the womb, right? Moments of stress in the womb that then continue to repeat and make it really difficult for us to change. To be able to resolve that grief, to heal that grief, then you're going to find that process of really owning the fact that you hold the key to your better life. It's going to be massive. And as we transition now into talking about the second pillar, which is how you treat yourself, determines your value. It can be hard to feel valued when we're still experiencing these old moments of grief, of emotional trauma that are holding us back, that affect our thoughts, that affect our behavior patterns, can affect our physical health and our spiritual connection. And again, I'll reiterate that spiritual connection, no matter how deep your spiritual beliefs is, it's essentially our connection to self and community. So there's no end of depth to that. But even if you're not deeply spiritual, that those two connections, self and community, you can still relate to, right? So to find more value in yourself, that's part of the healing process of letting go of these old patterns. To acknowledge that they're there, to be able to talk about them, to express them, to find a safe place to do so, which you can do on your own by writing, journaling, by doing a voice memo and getting it out of your head. And then going through that process of allowing yourself to feel that pain so that you can release it. Now, I'm oversimplifying it today because I don't want to focus so much on the healing part, because we'll get deeper into that as we go into elements 3 and 4 of your personal truth map. But you can already see how this grief is formative to who we are, but also it's so important for us to process and to deal with and to release so that we can move forward. So we can create that better life by improving who we are. So we can start to treat ourselves in a way that we deserve. And when we treat ourselves in a better way and we allow ourselves to feel valuable, our value increases, how we project ourselves increases, other people see us as more valuable. And the more value we create in life, it perpetuates into more. We have a spiraling upwards effect where we, again, feel more valuable. We give more value in our relationships, in our journey, in our workplace. The more value we add, the more valuable we feel because of what we get back from other people, of the validation for that increase in value. So awareness, as I've probably mentioned before, is really key here. A lot of the time, this childhood grief is not the dark thing that you may fear it may be. There may be this sense of, oh, something's happened. Why am I like this? Why am I wired like this? And sure, there are people that have been through some pretty horrific things. Whatever it is for you, it's not about comparing what your grief is to someone else. It's not about lessening yours because you feel like someone's had it way worse. It's not by saying, well, actually, mine is much worse than someone else's, because we don't know how anyone else has actually been able to process it. Maybe you had more ability, more skills, more support to be able to deal with whatever the challenge was. So while to someone looking from externally may see yours as much more painful, much more harder to deal with, you may actually be much stronger in that particular area, be able to work through it. So we remove the comparisons, but we acknowledge that there's something there. We are prepared to see that it might not be as dark, and more than likely, most of the time, it's nowhere near as dark as you think. And the other thing is that this will continue to come to the surface if you don't address it. I like the expression, feather the brick, the truck. You get a bit of a tickle from life to say you need to take notice here. If you don't take notice, then this unresolved stuff continues to bubble to the surface and you may experience the brick, which kind of hurts a bit more and has you paying attention. But again, if you carry on and you don't actually acknowledge and talk it out and feel it and release it, it will come into something bigger, and that's where the truck hits. That's those big moments in life. For me, it's been losing people to death from different experiences that stopped me in my tracks, and other moments that just really defining moments that if I'd listened when I got the tickle from the feather, if I'd listened when the brick hit me, I wouldn't have had to experience the truck. So it's going to come to the surface and you will need to process it at some point. So the ability to, well, I was going to say to be able to move towards that so you can release it, which can be easier said than done, which is why I talk a lot about making sure that you have someone in your corner to help you with that. This is one of these things that I mentioned in a previous episode, is listening to my first mentor and cringing at the things he was saying, because I'm like, how on earth am I going to do that? He talked about having a team around you of support. He talked about having a mentor who can help guide you through. And a whole lot of other things where my mind in a state of lack was like, how am I going to afford to do that? How am I going to find someone who would be able to do that for me? All of those different things. But he was right. And I tend now to tell people the same thing. Having someone in your corner, independent, that's not emotionally connected to your situation, so that you feel safe. You feel in a place where you can actually release, talk it out and release whatever's going on. That could be a coach. It could be seeing a therapist or psychologist or somewhere else where you can talk. I'm a big fan of kinesiology. It could be joining a group of like-minded people in an online community where it's safe because other people are talking about the same sort of thing. There's so much power in it. So I want to bring this awareness to you around this childhood grief, so that you can start being aware of it. You can start having a think about if you're ready to really take your life to the next level. And to do that, it's going to mean to go through some healing so that you can really take full responsibility for your life and you can really step into this place of value, of self-value, and to grow at a faster level than you ever imagined possible. To be able to actually realize that no matter where you're up to, you're still playing small. You're still capable of so much more than what you believe. And I look at it like this. If I said to you a year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, if you had been capable of some of the things that you're achieving now, you would have dismissed it. I want you to now consider, as you go through this growth, as you heal your grief, as you release some of these patterns that are slowing you down, you don't know what's possible for you. The ability to increase your expansion and growth is exponential, and that's exciting. So take a deep breath, and when you're ready, you will know when you're ready to actually start acknowledging some of these things that are going on for you that are keeping you stuck, and be prepared to have the courage to be able to do whatever it takes next to be able to move on to the next level of your evolution. That was a big one today, and maybe confronting for some of you, but it's also a necessary part of the conversation to heal the unresolved and the unknown. And again, I'll reiterate, it's never as scary as it seems. And it's far better to do this with support, gently, when it doesn't get to the point of the truck that I mentioned before, where it's really like it's completely overwhelming and it's even more traumatic. As always, it's a personal choice. It's up to you to make that choice. I trust you'll make the right decision.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Grief Code podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Please share it with a friend or family member that you know would benefit from hearing it too. If you are truly ready to heal your unresolved or unknown grief, let's chat. Email me at info@ianhawkinscoaching.com. You can also stay connected with me by joining the Grief Code community at ianhawkinscoaching.com/thegriefcode. And remember, so that I can help even more people to heal, please subscribe and leave a review on your favorite podcast platform.